Well, today I'm responding to the critics, the crazies, and the Jew haters. Oh, you don't want to miss this.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I've got to warn you. According to someone who posted a review on my Facebook page, I am quite possibly one of the stupidest men on the face of Earth and no less dangerous than Hitler and a threat to society. As another critic expressed more concisely, he is an expletive stupid man. Well, yours truly coming your way today, 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire. I've been wanting to do this for a while, but I'm going to do it today, and the phone lines are open. I am going to address and interact with critics, crazies, and Jew haters. Critics, crazies, and Jew haters. Now, I am blessed to be serving the Lord. I'm blessed to be standing up for what I believe is right. I am blessed to have a forum like this, a live radio broadcast that goes all over the country and by internet can go anywhere. I'm blessed to have a lot of opportunity to interact via social media, articles that are posted, books, speaking. I am doing fine. I am encouraged. I am enjoying life in God. I feel terrible about human suffering. There are times like everyone else where you go through difficult patches in life. But overall, compared to suffering around the world, we're doing great here in America. I'm doing great personally. So this is not a show of complaining. This is not a show of, whoa, poor me. Now listen. I'm a public figure, and I take stands that are controversial in some people's eyes, as I have been speaking against Hamas and radical Islam, posting questions like, today, if Hamas cared so much about their people, why didn't they build bomb shelters instead of terror tunnels? And then posted yesterday, where Money Goes, posted that today as well, and posted about all the concrete and steel that they got that came into them, humanitarian supplies and funding that could have been used to build kindergartens and hospitals and apartment buildings and so on. It goes to build terror tunnels, and the money goes for bombs. As I address those things, I've been having more and more Hamas supporters or just Israel haters or just Jew haters posting all over the place. Well, I'm going to respond to them. I'm going to interact with them. But when I take stands about marriage and family and say that we ought not to redefine marriage based on the romantic desires and sexual attractions on a small minority of the people, and published an article today, gays are one in 50, not one in four. Well, obviously, there's going to be flack. I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus. I say my fellow Jews need Jesus to be saved. Obviously, there's going to be flack for those positions. Jesus said in Luke 6:26, woe to you when all men speak well of you, because that's how they spoke of the false prophets of old. Well, I don't have to worry about that verse. There are plenty of other things Jesus taught that are challenging and that are difficult to live out, but I don't have to worry about that one. I've got that one down. So I'm not complaining. I'm blessed to have this platform and the ability to speak out and let come what may. And the truth be told, I'm overwhelmed with support and encouragement. However, I want to address some of the critics, crazies, Jew haters. And there are critics that I do not in any way put in the category of crazies. I mean, what they're saying is not ridiculous, outlandish. It's a different point of view. So I'm going to start there. And if you're one of them, if you differ with me, oh, please call and tell us why.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Now, I just posted this on our Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page, saying if you're new to this Facebook page, we welcome healthy and honest interaction, including spirited disagreement. But we will block those whose profanity engage in ugly personal attacks or take over threads to spread propaganda and lies, including the lie that Israel engages in ethnic cleansing or genocide. You say, well, some people feel that way. True, but our Facebook page, our social media platform, is not going to be someone else's platform to engage in anti-Israel or anti-Semitic libels. And then I note over the months, tens of thousands of comments have been posted that we differ with, but they're allowed to stand because they do not violate our guidelines, so have at it. We also apologize if offensive comments have not been removed, but we're not able to read all comments that come in, and so if you feel there's a serious violation taking place, let us know, and we give email address, and I say, may love and truth prevail. Friends, if you're a pastor, if you're a leader, if you're an author, if you have a message, if you feel you have something you want to get out to the world, just remember that the more people you reach, the more you will help people, and the more people will be upset with you. It just goes with the turf. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, I'll give you guidelines for calling in a moment. 866-348-7884. And Dwight, we will really be wide open today as much as possible. If you are going to reach more and more people and speak to more and more people, you're going to have more and more people who appreciate what you're doing if you're doing something helpful. And if it's in any way controversial, you're going to have more and more people who oppose you. And if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. I am encouraged when I'm attacked for doing good. Now, if I had a mistake in an article and someone pointed out that I made a comment and that and I made a point and that point was based on an erroneous source and that source had since been exposed. Let's say I was driving with a friend when that happened and I got that email on my cell phone. I'd immediately want to fix that. I'd think, oh, no. When I looked into it and saw it was true, oh, no. There was something untruthful. There was an error. That is bad, and I'd want to correct it immediately. And I would write to the major websites that posted that article, and I'd say, please correct this or use this instead or add this addition. Correct. That would bother me because I do not want to misrepresent. And if I said something that was thoughtless, I thought I was being careful, and then someone pointed out that I wasn't, and what I said was offensive. Oh, man, I would hate that. However, if I'm mocked or vilified for speaking the truth, so be it. In fact, Jesus said that because of identification with him, we'd be hated and mocked. So the hatred, the mockery that comes is an encouragement to me that I'm on the right track. Now, at the same time, one of my colleagues was explaining to a young minister how to not be affected by praise or criticism. And he said this to him, and if you are a follower of Jesus, this will make spiritual sense to you. He said, if you stay on your knees, meaning stay in an attitude of prayer and humility before God, if you stay on your knees, the praise and the criticism pass over your head. I like that. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, guidelines for critics today. Feel free to call and differ with me on any position that I hold. All right? Now, I don't want to get into a nitpicking theological thing that in one message you once heard, you have a difference with a subpoint of an interpretation of one Greek word or something. I'm talking about major substantive issues. So if you differ with me on Israel, if you differ with me on homosexuality, if you differ with me on fundamentals of the faith, then by all means, call and tell us why. And obviously, we bleep out profanity. If someone's using it, they wouldn't last for a few seconds and their words would be bleeped out. But if you can avoid that, if you're really hot or angry, upset with me, maybe you're a Muslim or a Palestinian, you're absolutely outraged with me, that anyone could stand with Israel. And bear in mind, I do not defend everything Israel does or say that Israel is perfect. And I constantly ask for prayer for the Palestinians. And I repeatedly say that the greatest victims of Hamas are the Palestinians, even if the Palestinians voted for them or thought they were champions or whatever. Ultimately, the Palestinian people are suffering because of bad leadership decisions going back roughly 90 years that have hurt them as a people, when they were Arabs living in the land, bad decisions being made on their behalf. But here's the deal, and I know it takes a certain level of courage, but if you just want to tell me why I'm wrong or what you think, then call. Oh, people bombard me day and night, social media and after articles that I've written and so on. They bombard me day and night. And if we had a full-time staff that just followed my articles and worked on social media day and night, we'd be kept busy. So there are many, many comments we never see, many, many attacks we never see. Of course, that's self-evident. But if you can get a minute to pick up the phone, here's the deal. I'll let you just speak your mind for a full minute without saying anything. If you want to blast away and tell our listeners why I'm so wrong or misinformed or bigoted or hateful or more dangerous than Hitler or here, hang on. Let me look at a few. How about this one? This man, and the name man, the word man is put in quotes because I'm not really a man. I'm not really human. This man is an ignorant, hateful, biased, racist, a hypocrite of the highest caliber who should only appeal to those who blindly believe what they are told to and lack the intelligence to research facts and develop ideas and opinions of their own. So not only am I an ignorant, hateful, biased, racist, and hypocrite of the highest caliber, but all of you listening are just blindly believing me. Dr. Brown brags about his degrees and research capabilities. Oh, actually, I don't brag about them. Actually, I'll make reference to them if relevant. In other words, I posted last week that I find it ironic that people attack me when I write about issues having to do with homosexual practice. When I write about those issues, they say, well, you don't have a degree in sexuality or gender studies or anything like that. Well, my PhD is in Near Eastern Languages and Literatures. Do you believe what I write about those issues in Bible? No. Ah, so that's the point. And the other point is that when you do advanced studies, you learn to do research. And for me, because I studied languages, you always want to go to original sources. You don't want to get stuff hearsay. You want to go to original sources. That's why I learned different languages, to go to the original sources in the original languages. So you do that as much as possible. That's the only reference that's being made. Plenty of people have degrees. What's that prove? Nothing. Dr. Brown brags about his degrees and research capabilities. At the same time, his bias against gay people is abundantly clear. And one has to wonder when he is going to advocate breaking our heads open with rocks. Now, the thing that's so unfortunate is that people who incite hate and incite fear with words like that either know that they are spreading fear and hatred just to back their cause, or they actually believe those things. I was preaching yesterday in the Toronto area, and a young man came up to me with a big smile. And he said to me, he said, I saw you on such and such a TV broadcast. You looked right at me. You were speaking to me and happened to be a show where I was talking about the Bible and homosexual practice and reached out compassionately to make clear God's love for everyone struggling with same-sex attraction, God's love for everyone who identifies gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and how Jesus died for each and every one. And how we're all created in God's image, but fallen and all in need of his grace and mercy. He came up to me with a big smile. He's now following Jesus. He's committed to living right. He's come out of homosexual practice. So he still identifies as gay. He said with a big smile, I'm gay, and I just wanted to thank you. And he was so blessed to be there. In fact, my message yesterday was on God's heart to us, how Jesus is basically saying, as extraordinary as this may seem, Jesus is basically saying to us, will you be my friend? He laid down his life for his friends, and he offers us friendship. Abraham was a friend of God, and Jesus offers us that friendship. And I said to him, you know, key thing is, I said, you are not defined by your sexual attractions and desires. I said, you are defined as a son of God, as a child of God. I said, start there. Let that be your foundation. That's who you are. I said, you may be same-sex attracted the rest of your life, or that may change, but that doesn't define you. What defines you is being in Jesus. Here's someone who actually heard me, and here's someone who was all smiles, couldn't wait to meet me, and I found out he's one of about four guys attending that church that have come out of homosexual practice and are no longer together in romantic and sexual relationships. And as so many I've met, he was all smiles and beaming with joy as he started a new life. But those often full of hate will lash out with hate. We come back. I'm going to speak about Israel, and I'm going to play some audio clips for you. Friends, you will not believe what people say and believe about the Jews.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm addressing critics, crazies, and Jew haters. Now, if you consider yourself a Jew hater, then call. Tell us why. Tell us what's so evil about the Jews. And I'll give you a full minute to speak without any interruption of any kind. What do you think of that? If you are a critic and you've intelligently taken issue with different points I've made or stances I've taken, you may think I'm a hate-filled bigot. You may think all those things, but when you write intelligently and you critique things intelligently. Let's talk. I will be addressing some of those. So I put these in three categories to say that there are critics who are not crazies. There are critics who we differ with profoundly. I differ with profoundly, but we could sit down across the table and have a lengthy conversation that would be rational in the midst of our differences. Let's listen to some Nazi propaganda, and we'll go to clip number three.
Parallel to these Jewish wanderings throughout the world is the migration of a similarly restless animal, the rat. They are cunning, cowardly, and cruel, and usually appear in massive hordes. They represent the elements of sneakiness and subterranean destruction among animals, just as the Jews do among mankind.
Ah, the Jews. Nazi propaganda. Listen, friends, there's a fine line between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism. There's a fine line between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism. Let me make this plain. You can criticize Israel and not be an anti-Semite. You can question whether Israel has a divine right to be in the Promised Land now, or even a recent historic right to have the land that it has now. You can feel that Israel is occupying Arab territory, and that does not make you an anti-Semite. I want to be plain about that. However, there is often a fine line between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism, and it doesn't take much to provoke the difference, or to, I should say, bring out the fact that under the surface there has been anti-Semitism. In other words, when very quickly, when Israel does something wrong, the criticism is now against the Jewish people worldwide, and they are immediately demonized, then you see that there is something else under the surface all along. You've heard of the notorious Westboro Baptist Church. The Westboro Baptist Church, infamous for their God hates fags message. And by the way, the moment you say we shouldn't redefine marriage, you are now put in the same class. You're considered a hater like Fred Phelps. So in other words, there's not really any rational discussion you can have on that if someone immediately makes those false accusations against you. But the Westboro Baptist folks are, and continuing after the death of Fred Phelps, they are also notorious Jew haters. And Let's play clip number 18, Joey. This is Westboro Baptist Church. They wrote this, and they're singing it, and it is to the tune, obviously, of Hey Jude, but it's not Hey Jude, it's Hey Jews. This is sick. Listen.
Hey Jews, you killed the king. He'll return soon, his wrath he's bringing. You thought you could cover up this great sin. The flame will soon begin. Your doom is coming. Hey Jews, you stole that land. You disobeyed God, he took it from you. You thought you could take it back by force. You won't repent, of course. You're violent rebels.
Uh-huh. And notice some of the theology behind that would be called supersessionism replacement theology. Westboro Baptist Church. Oh, friends, I'm just trying to look at different stacks here. Page after page after page posted on our Facebook page, which, by the way, in the last week reached more than 8 million people, had more than 80,000 comments, just our Ask Dr. Brown page. Here's one post from Ayat. Israel is terrorist polity. The decimation and annihilation of Israel is coming soon, inshallah, meaning Allah willing. End of Israel will be fact, I'm sure. Expletive Israelis, they are all bastards. Expletive all those who support them in killing innocent poor people of Gaza, Palestine. Expletive you, USA, big time. And on it goes. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Lisa in Manhattan. Thank you for calling the Line of Fire. What's on your mind?
The anti-Semitism equals anti-Zionism, and there's no fine line. It's anti-Semitism, pure and simple. Israel's been the victim for 66 years. They're not allowed to have their own homeland? I thought you knew. They're there 3,000 years. What are you talking about? Why are you spreading anti-Semitism, Dr. Brown?
Oh, I'm spreading anti-Semitism?
You got it all wrong. Anti-Semitism equals anti-Zionism. Israel made a huge mistake when they left Gaza August 2005, 9 years ago. I was there, Gush Katif, when they
hang on.
Animals
so, does Israel
state.
Does Israel
you
ever
are,
do
you're
anything?
You're spreading anti-Semitism. Your facts are all wrong.
Lisa,
that's Israel's
Lisa,
homeland. And
Lisa,
you say, I mean,
Lisa,
how stupid are you?
Well, you're going to help me find out how stupid I am in a second, Lisa. Does Israel ever do anything wrong?
Yeah, they did a hit. No, they did. No, they can't.
No. Does Israel? Simple question. Yes
or
no, Lisa?
Allowed.
Does
Remember
Israel
that,
ever
not
do anything
no, they
wrong?
Never, they did one thing big wrong.
Does
big
Israel
time.
Ever
so
do
far,
anything wrong? All right. Well, who knew that the first attack would be that I'm spreading anti-Semitism? I'm sorry that we've got a break coming up. I would have loved to hear more. I, day and night, am speaking up on Israel's behalf and getting blasted day and night for doing it. That's fascinating. But Lisa, Israel's not perfect. When I take issue with something Israel does, it's because I'm a faithful lover of my people as a Jew. Thanks for the call. Hey, why not join our team? Why not become a torchbearer today? Why not say, hey, Mike, we're with you on the front lines, not just with words, but with our finances. Doesn't go in my pocket. Doesn't go in our staff's pocket. It goes right back out to amplify my voice and make it louder all over America. Stand with us today. Put aside a dollar a day, $30 or more per month. Become a torchbearer. We'll be making a massive difference. Go to my website right now. Find out all the benefits that come your way as a torchbearer. That's AskDrBrown.org. Right on the homepage, you'll see. And we'll stand together and make a great difference. And truth will always triumph.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. I'm addressing critics, crazies, and Jew haters today. And to my surprise, the first caller accused me of spreading anti-Semitism. We're all getting blasted day and night from Muslims and radical Muslims and others who are anti-Israel and some who are downright Jew haters. I mean, they say they are. I get blasted for spreading anti-Semitism because I say that anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism are not always the same thing. I say there's a fine line between them, and often anti-Zionism is just a cloak for covering up anti-Semitism. Ugh, never a dull day. I want to address someone. Let me find the article here. Here we go. This was Carlos Maza on Media Matters. And he was addressing an article I wrote on WorldNet Daily that said that the next thing on the slippery slope was incest. Now, of course, there has been the historic conservative argument that if you open the door to homosexual practice, it will lead to other things like polygamy or bestiality or incest. And of course, that's always been flatly rejected and mocked in gay activist circles and done in an intellectual way by, say, Professor John Corvino, philosophy professor, head of the department at Wayne State University and known as the gay moralist. We've met a couple of times and he was on my show once. And he's written against the what do you call the PBI. I think that's the order that he has, polygamy, bestiality, incest, the idea that there's any slippery slope. My argument is simple, that the embrace of homosexual practice in our society goes hand in hand with a larger sexual anarchy. It goes hand in hand with a larger sexual anarchy that embraces fornication, so people having sex out of wedlock, that embraces cohabitation, people living together out of wedlock, that embraces illegitimacy, people having children out of wedlock, that there is a larger sexual anarchy that also embraces homosexual practice and will embrace other things, including incest. And one of the, and we're talking about adult consensual incest. One of the arguments would be if you're theoretically not hurting anyone, say if it's two brothers or two sisters and they're 30 years old, let's say they're twins or something, and they're 30 years old or they're just a brother and sister, maybe they've been separated for years and they meet later in life and they have what's called GSA, genetic sexual attraction, and they didn't grow up together to have the sexual desires overcome by being part of the same family and growing up together. So let's say they want to be together. On what basis shouldn't they be? If you use the argument, love is love, and if you say marriage equality, then on what basis could they not be together? Again, we're not talking about the possibility of genetic defect with a man and a woman. Let's just say it's two brothers or two sisters. On what basis should they not be allowed to be together? If you say, well, that's icky, well, not that long ago, many Americans thought for two men or two women to be together was icky. You can't just use the ick argument. What would be the argument? And in point of fact, there is an increasing celebration in the media of incest. It's well documented. It's well known. I was quoting from an MTV series that's going to be coming out. One of the stars said incest is hot. So I addressed those and I said, look, this is where things are going. And the same media celebrating homosexual practice and all these other things and My Five Wives is also celebrating this. So Carlos Maza in his Media Matters article, I put him in the category of a critic, not a crazy, not a Jew hater, but critic here. We'll interact with Carlos when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, as we address critics, crazies, and Jew haters on the broadcast today. And I've invited folks to call in, and hey, I know some people are working, but it's interesting that you can post on social media and post these long posts and detailed statements and say, well, I can't call your show because I work during these hours, and you're saying it's these long emails and texts. So if you're right, you probably call, can't you? But here's the deal. Here's the deal. I may try to clarify a point with you, but otherwise you can just speak. You can take a minute and just speak and just air your issue with me, and we'll hear you out, okay? You can say how bad a person I am if you want. You can even do that today, but I'd like to interact with you about it. You see, I just want to repeat this, okay? I just want to repeat this. We are not like rock stars out there or some big politician who on Facebook has, you know, 20 million fans, or on Twitter has 30 million fans or something like that. That's not the case. But by God's grace, we do reach a lot of people through this radio broadcast, through articles, through books, and more recently through social media. So, for example, we have reached about 8.4 million people just through our Facebook page in the last week. So I say that to just give you context, and to say that we're flooded with comments, many of which are hostile, many of which disagree. So I encourage folks, because I can't read the vast majority of them. My staff can't read the vast majority of them. Just 80-plus thousand comments on the Facebook page alone, let alone all the other places where things are being posted. So because of that, we encourage you to call in. And this way, we can have a conversation. Oh, let me just see here, before I interact with Carlos Maza. Someone said this in a Facebook post. Brownie Boy is one of the most biggest liars known to mankind. I didn't have the grammar right. You don't use most with a superlative. This was Peter. So, Peter, you need to improve on that. You need to say Brownie Boy is one of the biggest liars known to mankind, or Brownie Boy is one of the most big liars known to mankind. But since you have the superlative available, biggest, it's just best to use that and leave most out. And by all means, document those for us. Kellyanne said this, note to you, mister, God made people gay, so who are you to say it's wrong and go against the work of the big man himself? Your Bible is written by people who control people with the fear of God, not by God. Stop being a sheep and stop being judgmental. Live and let live and mind your business. Somehow she didn't think of doing that before she wrote to me about minding her business. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go back to this article where Carlos, MediaMatters.org, July 24th, is critiquing my article about the slippery slope and incest. So here's what he writes in response. Brown has previously compared homosexuality to pedophilia, bestiality, and sexual stimulation by feces. He's an ardent believer in the gay slippery slope. The first thing, actually, what I said was this, Carlos, that there are lists of different sexual orientations and sexual proclivities. And if the argument is that homosexuality is an orientation, or homosexuality is inborn, or it's deeply rooted in someone, so are these other things. The point was that proves nothing about the morality of the behavior. For example, if pedophilia is in fact more and more classified as a sexual orientation, and it is considered to be innate and immutable, people are born that way and can't change, that in no way justifies it. You hate it, I'm sure, as much as I do. Or I assume you hate it as much as I do, the very thought of it. So the fact that someone would argue this is an orientation or it's innate or immutable in and of itself proves nothing. Now, you might say, yeah, but here's the difference. Two men or two women in a consensual relationship, they hurt no one. Oh, I understand that. Now we can have another discussion. But if you're going to use the innate immutable argument, or if you're going to use the argument, well, this is a sexual orientation and therefore should be protected and recognized, well, what about other things that are in those categories? That was the argument. If you read my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, I make absolutely plain, and I have people repeat out loud that I am not saying X, Y, Z, but of course you're saying I am saying X, Y, Z. And I've also said very plainly that even though a man and man coming together, a woman and woman coming together is not marriage, it is redefining marriage, it is not marriage, I've never questioned that people can be in love and committed to each other and caring for each other and wanting to have a family and wanting to raise kids that are same-sex attracted. I've never argued with that. So it's best, I appreciate you quoting much of what I've written here, but it's best not to mischaracterize, sir, because when people find out you've mischaracterized, then it disqualifies you. We have enough areas that we differ on. Why try to exaggerate, misrepresent what I've actually said? Because the moment people see you've done that, if they're really truth seekers, all right, and I imagine MediaMatters.org purports to be a truth-seeking website, not just some conspiracy theory website or some make-believe website, well, then I would think you'd want to be accurate. You continue to say, I also defended Uganda's extreme anti-gay law as necessary to combat the spread of HIV/AIDS. Ah, where was the word necessary? Where is my initial quotation when asked by a local gay newspaper where I said that the law as written could cause great harm and suffering, great suffering and pain for those who identify as LGBT in Uganda, and that while I was not trying to meddle with their affairs or fully understand Ugandan perspective, I raised concerns, especially with the death penalty. And then I said on the air a couple of different occasions, of course, folks tend to only quote the parts that they feel they can use against me to demonize me and misrepresent me. Then I said I understood that they were concerned about gay activism in the schools, and especially receiving Western funding. And I was and I understood the issue with AIDS that they had there, how devastating it was. Yes, it was spread mainly through heterosexuals because of heterosexuals being the dominant population numerically, but that the spread of HIV/AIDS in the homosexual community in Uganda was off the charts higher. So I understood that. I did not defend the law as written. And by the way, these alleged mindless Ugandans who are just following the words of American preachers, I've never been to Uganda personally, by the way, but their courts have now said that the law was not passed properly. Interesting. It seems like they have a mind of their own, whatever conclusions they come to. Carlos continues, the slippery slope argument is a common conservative horror story about the danger of tolerating LGBT people. It's also a complete fabrication. There are compelling evidence reasons for prohibiting practices like incest. Well, give me one, Carlos. Give me one. One compelling argument why two adult brothers or two adult sisters who are in love cannot come together in a consensual relationship. Why should that be illegal according to you? I can give you biblical principle that's behind this, and although we don't have a theocracy, biblical principle often informs our law. I'll give you biblical principle that informs this. But you take that away, and you now redefine marriage. Please, I'd love to hear, honestly, I would love to hear your compelling, evidenced reasons for saying two consensual adults. I thought it was consensual adults. Love is love, marriage equality. I thought that was one of your mantras. He also says, Carlos, you also say there hasn't been a rush to legalize incest in states where gay relationships are widely accepted. Ah, the same media that was pushing for the one and celebrating the one is now celebrating this. And little by little by little, public revulsion to it decreases. And there are cases that are coming to the courts on these issues. Surely you know that. States that are tolerant of incestuous relationships tend to be right-leaning states where homosexuality is less accepted. When you open the door to one, you will open the door to the other. And by incest, right-leaning states, what are you talking about? Cousins marrying? We're not talking about that. It's telling that Brown chooses to cite fictional television shows to peddle this bogus link between homosexuality and incest. Much like the dragons and skeletons that roam the land of Game of Thrones, the slippery slope argument is only troubling for people who can't distinguish fact from fantasy. Carlos, look in the mirror there, sir. Look in the mirror. There are court cases. I've cited those in other writings. And when the MTV star said incest is hot, that was not fantasy. We're talking about what's coming before the media. Sir, don't you know that media matters? That it influences people?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Rakettiisku kahden aikaan yöllä. Se tosiaan tapahtui aivan tässä lähellä, sillä ääni tässä sairaalan luona.
Okay. You don't understand Finnish. Sorry about that. Yeah, that's a Finnish reporter. Reporter from Finland. For those of you who do understand Finnish, my apologies for jumping in. This was posted yesterday on theblaze.com by Sharona Schwartz. Don't use me, quote, reporter admits seeing rocket fired from Gaza hospital, then blasts pro-Israel media for quoting her. Wow. Isn't that something? She's saying, yeah, I saw Hamas shooting rockets at Israel from the hospital here, which means that if Israel retaliates, that there could potentially be damage to the hospital or civilians who are hurt. And she's now quoted to that effect, and then she tells Israel media, don't use me. She said, I find it very disgusting how this one sentence was taken out of context to be used as an excuse to target civilians in Gaza. My story quickly became a tool of propaganda. The people sharing the story are not even trying to understand the situation as a whole. They are just looking for excuses to Israeli actions in Gaza. I refuse to be part of this kind of propaganda. Hey, let's be honest here for a minute. Everybody in the media knows that Hamas has rules, that Hamas is not going to let you report freely, and that there are things that are even staged. I'm not minimizing casualties. I'm not minimizing suffering. I'm not minimizing that for a split second. Before I went to Canada last week, Nancy wanted me to just sit and watch footage as little children, wounded children, and kids who had just died were being rushed into a hospital, and parents were mourning, and others were frantic, and these were Palestinians. She just wanted me to see that. As best as we can tell, by the way, that was due to a misfired Hamas rocket. But Israel sometimes has said, we made a mistake. This has happened. We targeted the wrong house. Or we sent warnings and thought everyone was out and they weren't. Or we responded to fire and our mortar shells went slightly off track. And we grieve over there being civilian casualties. But as a British general said, no army in history has done more to minimize civilian casualties than Israel. By the way, those of you who are historians of war, put this together for me or find some links online and shoot them over to us at info@askdrbrown.org of civilian casualties in Iraq, civilian casualties in Afghanistan, civilian casualties in World War II. I mean, come on. Think of this for a minute. I am getting bombarded with radical Muslim apologists, in other words, pro-Hamas people. So I'm not saying that all Muslims are pro-Hamas. I'm trying to distinguish here. And in fact, there are plenty of Muslims who are hostile to Hamas right now. I feel that Hamas is not serving the best interest of Islam worldwide or of the Palestinian people locally. I'm getting bombarded by people saying this is the Holocaust is looking small after this. Okay, hang on. Poland, 3.3 million Jews. 3.3 million Jews. 3 million were killed in the Holocaust. 3 million out of 3.3 million Jews. To compare 1,000-something casualties, the great majority of which are the direct result of Hamas policies. If Hamas cared about their people so much, with all the funding they get, Palestinian refugees get more funding per capita than any of the refugees in the world, and they are held as perpetual refugees. The fact is very simple. If funds that were spent on missiles, where did they get 10,000 missiles? Where did they get all the money to build this infrastructure of terror tunnels, this multi-million dollar, $100+ million system of terror tunnels? Where did they get the money for that while their people live in squalor? Someone said to me, well, listen, American money that comes to Israel, that's used for Israeli defense. Well, Israel does well giving its people jobs and opportunities to work and caring for them. Hamas takes the funds that are supposed to go for humanitarian purposes and uses them for terror. Don't dare compare that to the Holocaust. The death of one child is terrible. And if Israel had a misguided shot, volley that killed a child, that's terrible. But don't compare the suffering of the Palestinians to the Holocaust. And don't accuse them of genocide and ethnic cleansing. That is obscene. That is obscene. And that's what we deal with day and night. In fact, part of me wishes... It's counterproductive, and it's just not what our social media sites are for. But part of me wishes that we could leave the comments up there, the ones laced with murderous profanity, the ones laced with real desire to see us die and burn, the ones laced with every kind of ugly sentiment you could imagine. If we spot them, we'll copy them before the people are blocked. Just here, if you haven't watched my latest video, go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest video and watch my response to British correspondent Jon Snow, who's very big on Channel 4 over there. And thankfully, we've been able to leave a lot of hostile comments up there. But everybody who supports Israel is a criminal and a fascist, racist. Others claiming that there's no evidence that Hamas kidnapped and killed the three teenage boys to start. Others saying, Dr. Brown, you're nothing but a stupid coward. Your people will get their punishment, Allah willing. The only devil is the Israeli government for burning kids alive and beating them. Of course, Israel can't lose the war. They have America's money. F Israel, you filthy blanks. F off back to Europe. And on it goes. What a load of revisionist Zionist propaganda. Words fail me. That's what we're dealing with, friends. That's what we're dealing with. That's the hatred that's out there. And here's the good news. Paul wrote it in 2 Corinthians 13:8. We can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. Proverbs 21:30 says this. There's no wisdom or counsel or plan against the Lord. Stand with us, friends, on the front lines. Help amplify my voice to speak louder all across the nation and to the nations. Together, we're making a great difference. Join our team. Become a torchbearer. So as I speak, we're speaking together. Call now, 1-800-278-9978. Your one-time donation, becoming a torchbearer, standing with us will make a massive difference. 1-800-278-9978 or... go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, right on the homepage. My bottom line today is I see hatred, animosity, violence, ugliness increasing against the people of God. I know it's directed against God Himself. Well, today I'm responding to the critics, the crazies, and the Jew haters. Oh, you don't want to miss this.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. And I'm interacting today with critics, with crazies, and with Jew haters. Now, if you just say, well, Mike, I disagree with you. I think you're dead wrong on Israel. I think you're dead wrong about what's happening with Palestinians. I think you're dead wrong about homosexuality. I think you're dead wrong about the Bible. Well, call me. Tell me why. And if you can speak articulately and get to your point or just say what you want to say, we'll just let you talk for a little while before we interact. If I have a question of clarification, that'd be great. But I'm not going to debate. I mean, if you want to debate, that's fine. But I want to give you an opportunity to speak your mind. Now, don't say you're not doing it already, because it's happening all over social media day and night, responding to articles written against us, posts, tweets, and so on. In fact, Matt, here's the latest one that came my way. So we have a lot of fun. We got some very intense audio clips to play as well. Some of the most recent attacks that I spotted. And let me say it again, I'm not complaining. This comes with the territory. It's fine. The responses of those who love me versus those who hate me are like 9-1 or 10-1 in favor. So even if I was one that really cared about human opinion and that's what I was living for, I still wouldn't be stressed. But hey, if I'm honoring the Lord and doing what's right, let the opposition come. And that's how you have to live. Walk in humility, walk in grace, but stand for the truth at the same time. So one guy responds, this guy just spews hatred to rake in the almighty dollar, probably a closeted gay. Closet gay. Of course, that always has to be the objection. So if you stand against any particular thing, you must be closet gay if you stand against homosexual practice. So I guess all these atheists who attack our faith, they must be closeted secret believers. And all of the gay activists that attack us, you actually must all be closeted heterosexual fundamentalist Christians, if we're using the same logic there. But some of you have read my articles over the recent last couple of years, say on Charisma or One News Now or Town Hall or Christian Post. And that's hundreds and hundreds of articles. Yep. Tell you what, let's say you and I were going to go out and I was going to treat you to a bottle of water. I was going to buy you a $2 bottle of water. All of the money that I have been paid by these websites for writing articles for them would not buy the bottle of water. Why? Because I write because I have a message and a burden, and I'm privileged and honored that different websites, some of whom reach millions of people each week, would print these and post these on a regular basis. Ah, but I'm spewing hatred, like the hatred that Jesus died for gays and lesbians, like the hatred that God made men for women and women for men, like the hatred of telling the truth. Ah, to rake in the almighty dollar. But here's... Here's the rough one, Matt. Are you ready? You're fat. I guess there's this guy that it's got a Dr. Phil quote. Isn't Dr. Phil a little overweight? Anyway, I would think that someone who preaches hatred would at least take the time to lose weight. Hey, I work out, man. I go for it. I got to shed a few pounds. But so that'd be better then. If I was like really sleek and I got in terrific shape, then when I spoke the same thing, it wouldn't be hate anymore. It would be love. Is that how it works? All right, we'll be right back. It's going to be a fascinating show. Join in as you like.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I'm addressing critics, crazies, and Jew haters. Now, please understand there are folks who are posting on social media and very plainly making their sentiments known that they hate Jewish people. There are others who have issues with Israel's actions, and I've said plainly many a time that you can be an anti-Zionist without being an anti-Semite. However, often there is a fine line between the two, and often it is anti-Zionism that simply cloaks a deeper anti-Semitism. There are some who accuse me of every bizarre thing under the sun that would be in the category of crazies, and there are some who are critics, who are legitimate critics. In other words, they have reasoned issues with me, and we can discuss those issues. If you'd like to call, if you'd like to weigh in, and this is only to take issue with me. I don't need encouragement. I'm blessed. I'm fine. I'm encouraged in the Lord. I'm not looking for encouragement or a pat on the back. I'm not suffering. All is well. When I do right and get blasted for it, that's a badge of honor. But if you differ with me, I want to give you an opportunity to say why. And if you just want to have your say for a minute and then hang up, be my guest. 866-34-TRUTH. There is a very interesting gentleman whose YouTubes are widely watched, who goes by the name of Brother Nathaniel, who was raised in a Jewish home and now is a professing Orthodox Christian. And his views on Israel, his views on the Jewish people, his views on being a Jewish believer in Jesus are very different than my views. I want to interact with some things that Brother Nathaniel has to say. Let's start with clip number 8.
Jews for Jesus is part of a larger Judeo-Christian movement known as Messianic Judaism. Jews for Jesus proclaims, you can believe in Jesus and still be Jewish, since Jesus was a Jew, just like you. But by stressing that Jesus was a Jew, the emphasis is on his manhood, and his divinity is lost.
When we speak of him as a man, we're not de-emphasizing his divinity. For example, when Paul wrote in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, it said there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Messiah Jesus, the man Christ Jesus. Paul was certainly not de-emphasizing his divinity. And when Hebrews says, for example, in the 2nd chapter, that he took on flesh like us, that he was tempted in all points like as we were in the 4th chapter, that he can be a great high priest because he understands our pains, having lived through these things. When Isaiah 53 speaks of him being grieved and pained, that certainly does not take away from his divinity. And when he is called rabbi in the New Testament, which was an honorific title, it was not a formal ordained title, but he was rabbi, not reverend. He was called Christ because that meant Messiah. He didn't come to start a new religion, but to fulfill what was written in Moses and the prophets. Certainly, it's important to regain that heritage to understand it, because everything that comes after is built on that biblical Jewish foundation. And Jesus, Yeshua himself, says in John 4:22 that salvation is of the Jews. So salvation comes to the world through the Jewish people. And even when he returns, he is returning as a man, yes, as the Son of God, yes, as the eternally divine Son, but also as a male, as a man, and as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as the root and offspring of Jesse. That would speak to Jewishness in that respect. Well, Brother Nathaniel continues.
But it wasn't a Jew who died for you. It was God, the Orthodox Church teaches, who became man, who died for you. It was the Jews who crucified him. To identify Jesus with mere men and women of the Jewish diaspora is a denial of his divinity and his divine plan of salvation. And to join Christ's sufferings with Christ-hating Jews, enemies of the gospel, as St. Paul asserts, borders on blasphemy.
I beg to differ, sir. First, If you want to quote St. Paul, you just made reference to Romans 11:28 when he refers to Jewish people as enemies of the gospel. Please quote the second half of the verse, but still loved because of the patriarchs, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. It goes into verse 29, and quote a few verses earlier, verse 26, that says what? That all Israel will be saved, that there'll be a national turning of Israel at the end of the age. And remember that Peter, in Acts the 3rd chapter, preaching to his own people and saying that you gave him over, Acts the 2nd chapter, the 3rd chapter, speaking to his own leadership, you gave him over to the Romans to be crucified, and saying, you killed him, said, I know you did it ignorantly. There was not a full understanding. The greater issue now is, once he is resurrected, continuing to reject him. But what does Peter say? You are damned forever? No, he doesn't say that. He says, repent and turn to God, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah. And Jesus, after rebuking the Jewish leadership in Matthew 23, makes plain that he will not return to Jerusalem until that very Jerusalem, Jewish leadership, welcomes him back. That's why Paul writes in Romans, the 11th chapter, beginning 11th verse through verse 15, that if Israel's rejection of the Messiah brought salvation to the world, how much greater riches, even life from the dead, will their acceptance bring? Whose acceptance? The Jewish people who now reject Messiah, when they turn to him at the end of the age, that will literally bring the Messiah's return and life from the dead. Not only so, nowhere does the New Testament ever say that the Jews killed God. The charge of deicide has been used to shed Jewish blood by so-called Christians, by apostate Christians who killed Jews in Jesus' name, as guilty of deicide, killing God. That is a horrific accusation. What Scripture says is that he took on human form. It was a man who was killed. Oh, yes, the Son of God. Yes, fully divine. He was always the Son of God. He was always fully divine. 100% God, 100% man. Yes, I fully affirm that. But it's just interesting that the New Testament authors do not say you killed God, as Brother Nathaniel seemed to say. Let's listen to clip number 7 as Brother Nathaniel addresses one other related theological issue.
God promised the land to Abraham and, quote, to his seed, that is, those born miraculously as Isaac was. For in Isaac, God said, would Abraham's seed be called. Orthodox Christians are born miraculously through baptism. Esau was Abraham's physical seed. Yet due to his bad character, he was disqualified from inheriting the land, just like Jews today. Their bad character disqualifies them. It's the meek who shall inherit the earth, says Jesus Christ, not those who crucified him.
Ah, Brother Nathaniel, looks like you have an axe to grind against our people, against our Jewish people. First, when God made the promise to Abram in Genesis 15, he made it unconditionally. Only God passed through the covenant pieces. Secondly, that promise was affirmed through Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob. It was not based on their character. When Isaac prophesied this, that whoever blesses you will be blessed, whoever curses you will be cursed, and that was prophesied over Jacob by divine plan, that was not because of Jacob's character. That was not the issue. And Esau was not passed by because of character, but because of divine choice. And Jacob was not supernaturally born any more than Esau was. They were twins in the same womb at the same time. Let's go further. Let's remember that in Numbers 24, Balaam speaks over the nation of Israel. That same word that God gave in Genesis 12, I'll bless those who bless you, those who curse you will be cursed. He applied that same word to the nation of Israel. And then in Psalm 105, it's reaffirmed to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then in Ezekiel 36, the Babylonian exile, the return from there, and now the modern return from exile. God says, I'm not doing it because of your righteousness. I'm not bringing you back to the land because of your righteousness, but because my name is being blasphemed. So I'm bringing you back to the land for my name's sake. And then back in the land, God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. I want to repeat this. I've said it many times. If God opens a door, no one can shut it. If he closes a door, no one can open it. If he blesses, no one can curse. If he curses, no one can bless. If he scatters, no one can regather. If God scattered the Jewish people in his anger and judgment, then how, pray tell, have we been brought back to the land with the presence of 6 million Jews living in the land today against all odds? If God has not brought us back, we did not have the power to do it. Brother Nathaniel, with all respect, I profoundly differ with your positions. All right, we will be back. I have some fascinating audio clips to play for you. We'll start with the Prime Minister of Malaysia, and then I'll take you into my world. I'll let you know some of the lovely things that are being spoken about yours truly these days, just to let you know how people feel about the positions you and I hold. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We're addressing critics, crazies, Jew haters. And again, I'm absolutely not putting everyone in the same class. There are those who have a fair and healthy disagreement, or even if their disagreement seems extreme, they can present it in a rational way. There are others that have gone off the deep end. Every type of conspiracy theory and insult having nothing to do with truth. And there are others that are outright Jew haters, and they will tell you so. And this is how they feel. They don't hide that whatsoever. Again, we have just had such an increase in our social media platform in recent months. By God's grace, our radio broadcast has been going strong. We have our TV show and then articles that we write normally about three every week. And that's been going on for many, many weeks. And then, of course, books and public speaking. So whatever people we reach, large or small, through that has been steady and growing over the years. But there's been this recent social media explosion in terms of amount of people that we reach. And most recently, as we have stood with Israel against Hamas and for the Palestinians. So we're standing with Israel. We are standing for the Palestinians, but against Hamas and against the leadership that we feel is destroying them and hurting them. We've really gotten blasted by the Jew-hating critics. And some of them are quite overt. Joey, play clip number four. This is the Prime Minister of Malaysia.
Today, the Jews rule this world by proxy. They get others to fight and die for them. They invented socialism, communism, human rights, and democracy so that persecuting them would appear to be wrong, so they may enjoy equal rights with others. With these, they have now gained control of the most powerful countries, and they, this tiny community, have become a world power.
Ah, that's the Prime Minister of Malaysia saying that about the Jewish people. I post it on Facebook. I will say it again, the ultimate victims of Hamas are the Palestinians. Muhammad said, Hamas is our defender. It's the Palestinian resistance. I've lost my family because of Israel. And then he claimed that he had just lost like 40 out of 50 family members had just been killed that previous day. And when we probed for information, there was no further information. And then other friends of mine visited his website, and he was posting about all of the kinds of subjects. You don't do that when you just lost 40 or 38 out of 50 family members that have just been killed the day before. You're not just posting about trivial stuff on your Facebook page and not mentioning that. Let's see. Diana, whose hands are stained with blood? And then she goes on, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid any longer. I will not support an apartheid state, namely Israel. And then as far as Hamas, Ahmad said, the question for all of you over here, how do you know they are terrorists? How do you know they are using human shields? Oh, wait, TV, your media. So if your media told you anything, you'd believe it. Just like they've told you September 11th was by terrorists and then proven to be an inside job. These people actually believe this stuff. They believe that 9/11 was an inside job, that Israel was responsible for the atrocities, and that the Jewish-controlled media is complicit in this. In point of fact, Ahmad, it is many countries of the world that feed you state-run media and don't allow you full internet access to find out what the truth actually is. Let's just remind you of this. Let's go to clip number one. And this is September 8th, 2011. Orthodox Jew interviewing African Americans in Crown Heights. Now, this is not everyone. This is just some people being interviewed, their particular view. Clip number one.
They're part of the mind control system that they use through television and the media. Actually, the higher ups.
That right there is in a book called The Elders of the Protocols of Zion. That was in like 1898. They was talking about how the Jews will use TV and media and propaganda to control the world and take over the world.
The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, a notorious forgery, and it keeps resurfacing. It keeps resurfacing. Let's go to clip number two, more on the protocols. You have to understand, people believe these lies about the Jews around the world, not just in Muslim culture, in communist culture, in other parts of the world. Many believe it. In America, some fringe right, extreme right-wing Christian group. Here's someone else speaking about the protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Communism is a Jewish conspiracy. The communist conspiracy is organizing the colored people of the world all over the earth against the white people for the benefit of the Jews.
Ah, there you have it. And that is from a documentary on the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. And that was a professing Catholic leader. All right. I have a particular calling to be your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. And that means that my voice gets to be heard more loudly. Perhaps I am articulating what you believe. Perhaps you read an article that I've written. And you say, man, that's what I believe. I'm glad he's saying it. You tune into the radio and you hear me addressing moral, cultural, biblical issues. And you go, yeah, the way that guy says it, I agree with that. I'm blessed to do that. It's my joy. It's my calling. The attack that comes against me reflects the attack that comes against our position. You have to bear in mind, it's not an attack coming against me because I am me. It's an attack coming against me because of the positions I espouse. So if these are positions you espouse, that means that people would feel the same way about you if they knew your views, regardless of how gracious and kind you might be. So I encourage you, be bold, be strong, walk in love, walk in truth, fear God, and this way you can really serve man. Pray for us, partner with us, join our team. How would you like our voice to be amplified all over America in 1,000 different fronts? With your help, we can do it. We've got great plans, great vision, great steps we want to take. We just need your help to do it. Call now 1-800-278-9978. Become a partner. Become a torchbearer. My thank you gift when you sign up is the Tree of Life version of the Bible, complete messianic Jewish translation of the entire Bible. It's a $30 a value, but it's our gift to you when you become a torchbearer. 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Right on the homepage. Join us. Together, we're making a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You're not a face, your God hates you. Hate Jews, it's true. The nations are poised for your destruction. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, that's sick, 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 sick. Westboro Baptist Church, the infamous God Hates Fags, Westboro Baptist Church, with their song, Hey Jews, sick. They, as they mock others, will have to answer to God one day. 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire today as we interact with critics, crazies, and Jew haters. 866-348-7884. All right, I want to respond to a couple of folks that posted comments to my latest article, which says gays are 1 in 50, not 1 in 4. I want to respond to a couple of folks there. Dylan, I'll give you a heads up in a moment, because I want to respond to Jeff, and I want to respond to Michael. I haven't read all the comments. I wish I could. It's only 131 comments to this article there, but that's only one place where there are comments coming in. So because of that, we just simply can't respond. But I want to take a minute, Jeff and Michael. In my view, based on the parts of your comments that I've read, I look at you as critics, not as crazies. You may look at me as a crazy, I don't know, but I look at you as critics that I can have a civilized conversation with in the midst of our differences. But I start the article by mentioning that in a Gallup poll in 2011, that Americans put the percentage of gays and lesbians at 25%. They thought it was 1 in 4. Younger generation put it roughly 1 in 3. Remarkably, remarkably. But for many years, gay activists used the figure 1 in 10. This was based on the Alfred Kinsey study that came out in 1947, massively flawed in many ways. And Kinsey himself was a sexual pervert. Read lengthy biographies done by solid academics about his life. The man was a sexual pervert in the truest sense of the word. In any case, the 1 in 10 figure has been known to be false for many years. But there are gay activists who said it's still a good number to use. And I do have links in the article, or one particular link, that will go to some other quotes that say that. And then there have been those who have written them into scripts. For example, as I document in The Queer Thing Happened to America, there are, say, in Law and Order, one of the shows in the drama series, and there it specifically says 1 in 10 is gay. Who put that in the script? These things have been used as convenient lies. Now, behind the scenes, gay activists recognized the number was different, but it was a convenient lie to use. And I never, ever heard gay activists publicly make a big stink about the fact that the 1 in 10 number was wrong. Why? Because it was a convenient lie that gave a convenient wrong impression. All right? As one gay leader said a few days ago, the truth is numbers matter and political influence matters. So in point of fact, surveys have indicated, a number of them, one by a top gay scholar, those who identify as gay and lesbian, it's less than 1 in 50. And then you add in bisexual, those who identify as bisexual, less than 1 in 60. So you say, well, that doesn't mean you get to discriminate against people based on that. That doesn't mean you get to mistreat people based on that. Oh, I fully understand. And I say that in the article. Well, then what's the issue then? Why do I oppose, quote, marriage equality? I'll address that on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Send it, Lord. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, I'm interacting today with critics, crazies, and Jew haters, and I put them in different categories. There are plenty of critics who are rational, who have thought issues through and have very different views than I have, and I'm very happy to interact. I wish I could interact day and night on online with folks. Trust me, it's my desire to. When I see something posted that's not accurate, or that could easily be answered or refuted, or I could give a good link to, I want to, but I'm not able to 99% of the time because there's simply too much going on in social media. Someone was upset with me for not they challenged me on YouTube in response to my critique of British journalist Jon Snow. By the way, if you'd like to directly tell me what you differ with or why you have a problem with what I believe or hold to, the phone lines are open at 866-348-7884. I'm just not taking any calls today from anyone who agrees with me. So made it just a little bit more interesting. Otherwise, we could have had all kinds of folks saying, yeah, we cheer you on, man. We're with you. Praise God. Thank you. Glad to know it. But I need your prayer more than I need your encouragement because we are doing well. As you pray with us and for us, we can reach more and more people. And I'm confident that ultimately the truth will triumph. Now, I'll come back to the points I was making in a moment, but let me say this first. If I have the option of going to a university or some other open public setting and simply presenting my views in a lecture or debating someone who holds to opposite views, I virtually always request the debate. Now, there may be some setting where there's a group of people that's under attack and misunderstanding, and I need to come in and meet with them privately and encourage them. But I'm saying in any public presentation, if I've given the choice, you can just give a lecture or debate someone on it. I much prefer debating. If we're at a university, I'm not talking about church preaching or something, but if I'm at a university or some other neutral setting, I would much prefer the debate. Why? Because I love to debate. Well, I do love to debate when it's practical, when it's for a good purpose, not just for the sake of debating, but for the sake of getting to the truth. But I want the other side to present their position as best as possible so that those listening can hear both sides, and by hearing both sides, can then go home and think the issue through. I want to be able to challenge my opponent, and I want my opponent to be able to challenge me, and then whenever possible, unless it's a situation where it's just not feasible, whenever possible, I want to be able to model the debate in such a way that afterwards people say, okay, these guys really disagree, or this guy and this lady, they really disagree, but they can be civil with each other. Or they could sit down and have a meal together afterwards. I'd like to be able to model that whenever possible. But someone challenged me, and again, I don't see the vast majority of comments that come in. Someone challenged me in my response to journalist Jon Snow on YouTube. And his challenges said, unless basically, if you don't respond to me, you are admitting that you don't have the truth. Well, I just thought, okay, I'm going to respond here. And maybe one, on average, one of the 1,000 comments I'll respond to. I don't know if it's even that high overall. Our social media sites, and there's some that are plenty busier than us, but our social media sites right now, we're probably at, in a month's time, probably 400,000 comments, something like that, or close to it. There's some plenty busier than that, some that get 5 comments. But I'm just giving you an idea. Obviously, can't respond. Well, if you don't respond to me, it means you don't have the truth. Don't you think I want to respond all day to that person and say, okay, let me show you why you're wrong. Let me point this out. Let me explain this. You're misunderstanding here. Let's do this. So I actually responded and said, look, get rid of the silly rhetoric, you know, the challenge, you know, the macho challenge. And here's actual data. But, I mean, here's what we're hit with, say, on the Israel issue. Oh, God, not another Zionist moron who thinks the world has been unfair to him. You're not God's chosen people. If you were, you'd have your own state. I thought, thought we did have our own state. I thought that was the controversy. Israel is in Europe. You are European people. What a load of revisionist Zionist propaganda. Words fail me. Dr. Brown should be shot and killed. These are posts that are on YouTube. When they cross certain lines, they obviously get removed. If the Israeli army wasn't full of chicken expletive cowards, they would go into Gaza and fight Hamas gun for gun. Well, you know why they lose so many people? The reason they lose people, the reason they've lost dozens of soldiers, this is the worst casualty they've suffered in terms of soldiers since 2006. Although in the Second Intifada, they lost about 1,100 people, mainly civilians. But it's because they don't just bomb. They go in there at close contact to try to deal with specific issues so as not to kill more civilians. Do you have a PhD in fairies and dragons too? F Israel, and on it goes. And then even on my own Facebook page, just the specific attacks that come in. Oh, from the Hyper Grace crowd too, the extreme Hyper Grace blasting me. Get a grip and read the Bible for yourself. Calls me a clown wrapped up in the world of American evangelical Christianity. This is supposedly a fellow believer. He's a critic of what a true Christian should be. It's sad that in his eyes, same-sex couples are wrong. I've never used the word homophobic before, but you, sir, are guilty. The blood of Jesus will wash away your sin and guilt. Repent. Here's another one accusing me. Crackpot, right-wing, neo-Nazi using the Bible to spread hatred. Jesus was about love, not hate. That's from a fellow named Cliff. Hey, a lot of love coming through your post, Cliff, and on. One-sided, demented arguments, and if you disagree, you not only disagree with him, but the Almighty himself. And by the way, the guy who posted that is a guy who has consistently challenged me to sit with those who profess to be gay Christians and hear their stories, and I have repeatedly said, please, let's do it. Set it up. I think we live in the same city. I want to sit, and I want to hear what they have to say, and I just want to listen. So what do I get in response? Attacks like that. But back to the points that were made by Jeff and Michael. I think he may use the initial C, Michael C. I'm not sure. But there are many posts here. I'm only responding to one or two. This is to my latest article, Gays Are 1 in 50, Not 1 in 4. Again, you can read that by going to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, and clicking on latest article. First to Michael, when you say, sir, that, and by the way, Michael, I'm sure you've posted a lot of times. I've seen a tiny amount of your comments, but I've never looked at you as commenting in a hate-filled, inflammatory way, the comments I've read. And I've wished I could interact with you, had the opportunity to, because you seem to be coming at things in a thoughtful way. I would say you're wrong, but you seem to be coming at things in a thoughtful way. When you say that I'm admitting that gay activists knew what the actual figure was, how can I accuse them of saying that pushing 1 in 10? Because they knew the actual figure was not 1 in 10, and they did not proclaim that. Rather, some gay activists actually said it's a good figure to use, 1 in 10. Again, see the link that I cite over to another site. It quotes Kirk Madsen and as one good example. But you see it written into film scripts or TV scripts. Who's writing it in there? I mean, this is not a secret in terms of a large gay presence in Hollywood in writing the scripts. Here, GLAAD is vetting these scripts. We know that. GLAAD boasts about it. They raise money doing it, what was formerly known as the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. I said it would be more accurately known as the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement, but now they've just changed the name to GLAAD. Some have said they've done such a good job, they've worked themselves out of a job. But please consider this. GLAAD vetted those scripts. Why didn't GLAAD say that's erroneous? It's not 1 in 10. We're deceiving the American people, because it's a useful lie. And the constant presence in the media has given the American populace the false impression that it's 1 in 4. certainly gay activists who have been brilliant about messaging have not gotten the message out that they would argue they're, say, 1 in 40. Some would say 1 in 50. But certainly they've done the opposite. They have helped promote getting the other message out, whereas behind the scenes, they knew the actual numbers. Jeff, as for your questions and pointing out Messianic Jews are a minority, Mormons are a minority, I say plainly, it doesn't matter what the percentage is, you don't discriminate against people, you don't bully them, you don't mistreat them. My exact words in the article, bully or mistreat. But my point is, you don't redefine marriage. Remember, by saying marriage is the union of just two people rather than the marriage of a man or woman, you fundamentally redefine marriage. That's my point. You don't engage in a massive social experiment based on the romantic attractions and sexual desires of a tiny minority. Give us strength to
always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Again, you can criticize Israel without being an anti-Semite. There are Israelis who criticize Israel. There are other Jews who criticize Israel. You can differ with whether the modern state of Israel is fulfillment of biblical prophecy without being an anti-Semite. At the same time, anti-Zionism often cloaks anti-Semitism. At the same time, when Jews worldwide are blamed for Israel's actions and are quickly demonized, you see that there is something deeper going on. And as I have been speaking against Hamas, and I've been speaking against Hamas with constant calls for prayer for Israel and the Jewish people, as I have been doing that, the attacks coming through social media have been uglier than anything we have ever seen, with all types of calls for violence and on, we have to keep posting saying, hey, we welcome your posts, but if you use profanity, if you engage in ugly attacks against others, and if you accuse Israel of genocide, ethnic cleansing, and things like that, we're not going to have your posts on there. There are enough folks hating Israel posting all over the place. We don't need to add that to our Facebook page or make it a platform. However, feel free to differ. Feel free to take issue. We welcome that. Just do it within proper bounds. So I just want you to understand a little bit more of what's out there. Here are just posts coming in. Israel is not destroying Hamas. Israel is ethnically cleansing Palestinians. Another post. Can't believe what I'm reading. Israel loves to kill Palestinian children. Another. Dr. Brown is ridiculous. People's homes have been destroyed. Homes and hospitals are being bombed. You telling me this is Israel's only solution? All of you, you've lost your humanity, dignity, and self-respect. Which kind of psychopath will torture you for eternity for defending innocent kids? So the attacks go more and more. And then in terms of our destruction, that day is soon to come. I posted a famous hadith, a famous Islamic saying that the day of judgment will not come until Muslims fight the Jews, when the Jews will hide behind stones and trees. The stones and trees will say, "Oh, Muslims, oh, Abdullah, there is a Jew behind me. Come and kill him." There's just one particular tree that won't do it because it's a tree of the Jews. I said, "Will you renounce this? Will you renounce this? If you're a Muslim, will you renounce this? Or do you agree with it?" So someone posted, "That day is soon to come," and then said, "That is true, you Jew," and then just got more and more profane and shut the expletive up, you Jew. We finally had to block him. Israel is an apartheid state. Palestine is the largest concentration camp ever. Israel is like a plague, a disease to all living on this earth. We should do everything to humiliate the terrorist, war criminal, and shameless Israel and save innocent Palestine. Kick the Zionists out of our Palestine. Can somebody resurrect Hitler? Please, let's see if the world is ready to watch Israel's blank kicked. Shame on you, Zionist supporters. Yes, Jews are chosen to be killers, racists, rapists, murderers, and worshipers of Satan. And he goes on and says that he is a proud Pakistani. This is the type of stuff that's been coming in day and night. We have hit quite a nerve. Joey, I just want to play a couple of clips, number 16 and 17. My colleague, Caleb Myers, who heads up the Jerusalem Institute of Justice and is fighting for the human rights of both Palestinians and Israelis, and says consistently that Hamas is an enemy of the Palestinian people. In fact, they've been an arch enemy of Fatah, the Palestinian Authority, over the years as well. Joey, let's go to clip number 16. He's on CNN's This Hour with Berman and Michaela. Clip number 16.
Hamas is firing rockets from schools, hospitals, residential neighborhoods. When Israel retaliates, people are injured. Hamas sends those pictures around the world to gain support and to gain monetary benefits, donations. And in that sense, yes, it definitely hurts Israel. But it hurts the Palestinians worse than it hurts Israel. The Hamas organization is the worst thing that ever happened to Palestinians in Gaza.
Ah, absolutely true. Israel would love for those living in Gaza to be happy, to be prosperous, and to consider their Jewish neighbors as their friends. Why wouldn't they? Isn't it in everybody's best interest? One more clip from Caleb Myers, number 17.
The Hamas organization is the worst thing that ever happened to Palestinians in Gaza. As soon as they came to power, they took leaders of the PLO, shot them in the knees, threw them off of buildings. They conquered Gaza by force and totally took away all democratic rights from the Palestinian people in Gaza. There's no freedom of expression, no freedom of religion, no freedom of press. And so the Palestinian people themselves are being oppressed by this evil organization, which is now firing rockets systematically at civilian populations in Israel.
Uh-huh. It's the truth. And we pray for the salvation of Hamas leaders. We pray for the Palestinian people to be delivered from them. We pray for God's will to be done and God's kingdom to come. And we pray for the people of Israel and their protection, and above all, for the salvation of Jews and Muslims, that they would turn to God, that they would turn to Jesus Yeshua and know him for who he really is. If you're not connected to our emails, the other day I went to post something on Facebook. Facebook was down, and I thought, wow, what if Facebook just goes down for good? What if it ceases to exist? What if it blocks us, people like us, in the future? We don't know you. We can't reach you. So if you don't get my emails right now, take a minute. Well, 30 seconds. Go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. We don't give your name information out to anybody. Sign up for our e-blast. You can just do it again at askdrbrown.org. Just click on the little email icon, and then click on the Facebook icon or Twitter if you prefer. Click on YouTube to subscribe by YouTube. And if you appreciate what we're doing, and listen, for every criticism we get a whole lot more encouragement. And I'm blessed. I don't need you to say, hey, don't be discouraged, because I'm not. You can cheer me on, but don't say, don't be discouraged, because I'm anything but. The more resistance we get, the more sign that we're doing the right thing, if it's for the sake of truth and the gospel and righteousness. But if you appreciate what we're doing, then partner with us. It really goes much further than you could realize. When you stand with us, just putting aside a dollar a day, it makes a massive difference. Each one of you doing it, it adds more amplification to our voice to speak the truth and to really help spark a Jesus-based moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution in our nation. Call now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978, or go to AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, if you stand for truth, you'll be hated. If that's the case, walk in love, bless, don't curse, and rejoice.